Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Dick Ray. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
A couple of things we're going to jump into this morning. I'm a little excited about. I love reading the Bible and just finding some things that I'd never seen before, and that kind of came upon me this week. So if you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you'd like a Bible, there's Bibles in the back underneath the clock. You can have one of those. Go to your Bible app. John chapter 4. Something I want to talk about this morning that's found in this account of Jesus who has an encounter with a woman from Samaria. I've got a little heading on mine. It says Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. And I want to read the full section, the full passage, and there's a lot of points in there. Can spend some time maybe mining some different aspects of this account. But I want to look at one overarching thing that I see happen here. And actually, it's something that I find throughout Scripture. So I want to read through the account. Verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How do you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "Well, I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." I want to take a little break here. The disciples return. They have food. Verse 28 says this, "Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." Jump to verse 39. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. 'He told me everything I did.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" There's a lot in that. There's some very interesting nuances of the exchange that was going on between Jesus and a Samaritan woman. Interesting dialogue. Won't spend time unpacking it. I find interesting is Jesus talking about living water, and then he brings up the thing about her husbands and her relationships. I think he's making a point to her that you're trying to quench your thirst in the world, and it really doesn't work. Let me tell you of another way. I mean, it's really interesting conversation. She decides to enter a spiritual discussion with him when it gets too close to home. A lot of little nuances, but there's something in there that really jumps out at me, and it's this concept of time. In this discussion, Jesus makes reference on a number of occasions in his dialogue with this woman about a time has come and a time is coming. And he's speaking to this woman at a very real point in time, if you will. That I think it said that it was on the sixth hour, which is noontime. According to the Jewish calendar, the way they mark time, the sixth hour was noontime. There's a very specific time that this event is occurring, a chronological time, if you will. And then Jesus is talking about there's a time that has come and is coming. And this concept of time actually is found in the midst of God's creation, that there are actually two different concepts of time in the universe. Two different concepts of time in the universe, all because of God's design. And we kind of live in one of these and are somewhat aware of the second. I want to kind of try to unpack that a little bit. Our daily lives, our journeys here on earth, it's marked by time, a measure of time, a steady march of time, if you will. I mean, there's seconds that become minutes, that become hours, become days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries. There's this marking of time, and through our journey on earth, we mark what we do by time, don't we? Is it time to eat? It's time for me to be at work. It's time for me to be at school. What time do I pick them up? What time is the event happening? Much of our lives is really saturated with this concept of this chronological measure of time. And even though time is infinite, what I find is funny, there never seems to be enough of it, is there? Right? Time is infinite, but there never seems to be enough. And we live with an existence that the clock is constantly ticking, isn't it? It's still ticking. Time is still marching forward. Well, that's one of the words that is found in the Bible that is translated time is the Greek word. And if you put this up, Craig, there's two Greek words. I'm not doing a study in Greek, but there's two Greek words found in the Bible that get translated into time. One of them is the word chronos. It means chronological time. It is days, months, years, seconds. I mean, we mark a calendar, and it's the chronos time. But woven throughout the scripture is another word for time, the Greek word kairos. And it literally means the appointed time, the proper time, the awaited for time ordained by God. And here's Jesus in the midst of a, if you would, a chronos event. It's the sixth hour. It's noontime. It's a Thursday. It's I don't, you know, 31 AD, whatever it is. It's marked on the calendar. It's a specific chronos time. The woman is going about her day in this chronos time. It's time to go to the well. It's time to get water. And as she's doing that, Jesus shows up on the scene and saying, you mark your life with this chronos time. Let me tell you, there's another time in the universe, and it's kairos time. It's the appointed time for God to break in. It's the appointed time for God to move and do something. And this word kairos, this kairos time, as I said, is woven throughout the scriptures, woven throughout the New Testament. I mean, when we look at the whole concept of Jesus himself being born, it was the right time, the appointed time, the kairos time. God decides it is time to send my son into humanity. as a baby, and all of humanity is just interrupted with the cry of a baby in the manger. Why, it's God's time to act. John the Baptist, when he's going out preaching, preparing people for the coming of Jesus, he says this: the time has been fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So the time has been fulfilled. The word is kairos. Saying, oh, you know this chronological time you're all living day in, day out, going through the cycle, going through your life? God's breaking in and interrupting right now. God says it's time. It's time for the kingdom of God to be displayed. It's time for the kingdom of God to be proclaimed. It's time for my son to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and to go out into the world and announce and demonstrate this wonderful kingdom. It's now time. Paul even writes this in the book of Romans: at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time, at the appropriate time. And what happens here, I see this picture here. Here's this Samaritan woman who's living on Kronos time. And Jesus comes along and a Kairos moment breaks in. She has an encounter with the living God. And in that encounter, she becomes a follower of Jesus and her whole eternal destiny gets changed. But not only her, it's the village too, right? She goes back to the village, tells everyone, the villagers come out. They stay with Jesus for 2 days. That's a Kairos moment. In the midst of their life journey, there was this point where Jesus himself says, I'm going to break in with the good news and your lives will never be the same again. What a powerful moment that happened to them. And we see it throughout the Bible, don't we? We see throughout the Bible people going about their everyday life and all of a sudden God decides he wants to break in. I love in the book of Acts where Peter and John, and they said they're going to the temple to worship. They're on Kronos time. They're on Kronos time. It's time to go to the temple. It's time to do worship. Worship is going to be happening there. It's probably the certain day of the week, certain time of the day. And actually, it was noontime, it says in Acts chapter 2. And as they're walking there, there's a beggar on the side. Said he'd been there for years begging. He's been there for years begging, and he knows what his day is to be like. His day is when he wakes up, someone helps bring him to the temple and sits him at this gate called Gate Beautiful. And he sits there, and he marks his time by begging, asking for alms, maybe getting a little money here, a little money there, and he can survive on it. He's on Kronos time. Actually, even so is Peter and John. They're going about their thing. And what happens? God breaks in with a Kairos moment. You know what? It's time for that man to get healed. In the midst of his whole lifespan, God breaks in. It's time for his healing to happen. And as he turns to Peter and John, he asks for some money, and Peter says, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we give to you. Now in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. That guy's life was interrupted, wasn't it? His Kronos time was interrupted with the Kairos moment. I love the account. I mean, it's throughout the Bible. Philip. Philip actually, it says an angel spoke to him. We don't know exactly how that happened, if it was a dream, a vision, an unction. We don't know what was going on. But instructed him to go out onto a certain road. And he goes out to that road and he's, okay, why am I here? And there's a man from Ethiopia who's leaving Jerusalem, who's going back to Ethiopia. And as he's coming through, he's reading the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Isaiah, that has a prophecy about Jesus. And he's reading it, and he's kind of on Kronos time. I've done my time in Jerusalem. It's time for me to head back. They're expecting me. He was in the queen's court. They're expecting me to be back there. And Philip, I think, is like, okay, I'm here. What am I here for? God says, you're here for a Kairos moment. You're here for a breakthrough into this man's life. And what happens, he comes by and Philip can hear him reading. And he says, what are you reading? He goes, how can I understand this unless someone tells me? And Philip goes, oh, now I know why I'm here. Explains the gospel to him, tells him about Jesus. The guy gets saved and he says, hey, can I be baptized now? Why not? Sure, they go off and they baptize him. Can I tell you there is a church in Ethiopia today that I believe is directly linked to this man here? I believe it's directly linked to him. It was a Kairos moment that broke in and it's changed generations. the power of God that breaks in. Ever happened to you? You ever find you're going about your day in, day out life, and these are the things I have to do. This is my list of things to accomplish this day, this week. And all of a sudden, God just breaks in a little bit. God says, hey, it's time for something to happen. That God comes along and he nudges you. Maybe you're doing something and you're on, and all of a sudden, you ever get one of those phone calls out of the blue from someone? And someone says, hey, I was just thinking about you. And you go, man, I really could use that. Why? What were you thinking? No, I was thinking good stuff about you. You got to be careful with those calls. I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you, and maybe I was praying, and God told me to pray this for you. Or I was praying, and I felt God gave me a word, wanted me to tell you this. You get one of those calls out of the blue. You get one of those emails. Hey, how you doing? God just put you on my heart. You ever have one of those things happen? Can I tell you, that's a Kairos moment. We're in the middle of our day in, day out life, and God says, I just want to get your attention. I want to tell you that I'm thinking of you. I want to tell you something that's going to help you along in this process. I tell you, the times that's happened, I remember we were going through a really difficult time with something, and someone called up. We just finished the conversation, like, how are we going to do this? Someone called up and said, hey, you guys are right. God just put you on my heart. I was praying this morning. And they just like nailed the situation of what we were going through. That was a Kairos moment. God just saying, I want to break in. I want to do this. I want to help. You ever have one of those chance encounters? You bumped into someone? Hey, have you ever done one of this? You've been thinking about a person you haven't seen for a long time, and then you bump into them. You ever get one of those? You go, okay, why is this happening? And sometimes we say, coincidence, chance. I love someone said, coincidence is when God does a miracle and he wants to remain anonymous. You get this chance encounter and you go, why, God, this is really you. You're leading me into something. Because God loves to break into our time whenever he can. I've had some moments in my life, and there was one in particular. I remember I'm going through my day in, day out life. And all of a sudden God just, bam, nailed me with something. And suddenly I'm just going through where's all these things I'm thinking about that I haven't thought about for years. And I remember God saying to me, he says, Dick, you know what? You got over this stuff, but I didn't heal you. There's a big difference. You know what he's saying to me? It's time. It's time to let go of that. It's time to get healed of that. And I had this profound, you know, half hour time with God alone where he's just doing some stuff in me. It was a Kairos moment that broke in. This last year, we were took a couple days. We went up to the Kingfield area. And I don't know if I told you this, but it was just a fun time. And Josh had preached a couple Sundays before, and he shared a scripture that I never... Apparently, I've read it before, but I didn't remember I read it. You didn't remember I'd read it. There's a scripture in Jeremiah where it says, I have given them a heart to know me. I don't know if you remember that. When Joshua was preaching, he was talking about that verse. He was using it with his children. The Lord, he was reading that scripture, and the Lord, your children, I've given them a heart to know me. And it really helped Josh see his children a little differently. Well, that verse, I heard that, oh, that's real interesting. You know, a couple weeks pass, and we're in Kingfield, and we're sitting at a restaurant, and our waitress comes out, very pleasant waitress. She was, I don't know, maybe 30 years old, excuse me. Anyway, she was living up in Kingfield area, you know, like to ski and kind of, I think, maybe living somewhere that lifestyle of just enjoying all these things of life. And she comes up, she's waiting, very pleasant. And all of a sudden I felt the Lord say, tell her that scripture. And I thought, okay, we're in Kingfield. They'll never see me again, right? Right? Those of you going to Costa Rica, hey, they're never going to see you again. Go for it. Risk all you can. Okay, I'll risk. And so she's waiting on us. I said, hey, I do remember her name, Isla. Yeah. I said, Isla, I just got to tell you something. I know this sounds strange, but there's a Bible verse that keeps coming to mind, and I just wonder if I could just share it with you. And I felt the Lord wants you to know this, that he has given you a heart to know him. She starts crying. And it was like, what's going on? She goes, my dad's a pastor down in Texas, and we've been estranged for a while. And I'm up here, you know, married, got kids, doing life. And I've kind of like left that part of my life behind. And God is reminding me, he's given me a heart to know him. And he's drawing me back. And we came, I mean, she's got other customers, and we're trying to like, ooh, this chocolate mousse is good, but God, you're awesome, even more awesome. You know what? It was a Kairos moment that broke in, right? I find that God loves to do this more and more and more. And throughout my life, I have people who speak to me, who send me the email, who encounter me, a chance encounter, go, God, is this a Kairos moment? In the midst of my day in and day out activities. Because here's the thing, God's not bound by the confines of space and time, is he? He actually created time. He's outside of time. And he created Chronos time, okay? It's good. Read Genesis. He created all the heavens and the stars and the expanse of the universe to mark the days and the seasons and the years, the months. This is part of his design. We live out what he has set up. But he loves to just break in the midst of the Chronos time with his presence, intersecting our daily life. And when Jesus said, my Father is always working, this is, I believe, is part of it. He's always working. And I feel that when a Kairos moment is happening, it's an opportunity for us to respond. It's an opportunity for us to engage with what God is doing. And when I kind of was capturing this, I said, I want to read more about this. I want to find more. So I started looking for the word Kairos in the New Testament. I wanted to see where it showed up. I kind of have fun doing stuff like that. And I found a scripture. Actually, if you turn to it yourself, if you get a Bible, if you want to read it yourself, yeah, take that away there. We'll take it away. I love to hear pages turn if you've got pages. Galatians chapter 6. You know I'm going to put it up there again, but it's really good to see it in your own Bibles. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Yeah, you can put it up now. I love hearing pages turn. Paul says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially for those who belong to the family of believers. What's interesting is this word Kairos is found two places. Proper time. Don't become weary doing good. At its proper time, there's going to be a God-ordained time where he's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You're going to receive a reward. It might be this side of heaven. It might be the other side. But at some point, at the proper time, God has said, you know what? I love what you're doing. At the proper time, I'm going to break in. And then he says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. The word opportunity is actually Kairos also. It got translated as opportunity. And I find it interesting because throughout the New Testament, Paul equates opportunity with the inbreaking of God's kingdom. He's saying the proper time is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to engage with what God is doing for salvation. It's an opportunity for salvation. Those of us, as you've come to a point, you've given your life to Jesus, that was a Kairos moment. Most likely you were going about your daily activities, your weekly activities. Someone either came and shared with you the good news. They shared with you about the love of Christ. Maybe you were in a church service. Maybe the Spirit of God started working on you. But suddenly that Chronos part of your life got interrupted with a God moment. And he says, here's the proper time now for you to turn to me with salvation. But it's an opportunity. You're going to grasp it or not. There's that opportunity that comes up. It's an opportunity to grow, to mature in our faith. Can I tell you, this journey as a follower of Jesus, isn't it filled with landmarks where God's saying landmines as well as landmarks? Landmarks along the way where God says, hey, it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to forgive. It's time to let go of that little ratty attitude. It's time to stop being sarcastic. It's time to start loving that person as they should be. You know, it's the opportunity to grow, to mature. God says, you know what, it's time. So sometimes the Kairos moment breaks in. He says, you know, it's time to let go of that sin. It's time to put that thing to rest. It's time to see the power of God come in and break that addiction, that ungodly habit. It's time. God says, in the scheme of things, in the scheme of your life, here's the time for this to be addressed. Others, it's like, you know what? It's time to stretch. It's time to stretch. It's time to give away the stuff you have. It's time you mature to the point. It's time to serve others. It's time to pour off out to somebody else. It's not a time to keep it all to yourself. It's time. Give this stuff away. Take your place in the kingdom of God. It's time. And if I've gone through my life personally, I found it's sprinkled with these Kairos moments. Just like the Samaritan woman, I'm going about everyday activities, and all of a sudden God just nudges me. Maybe an encounter with someone. Maybe it's a scripture. Maybe it's something I read, something I hear. Maybe it's just a personal time with God. Time for this to be done. And I think for us, since we live in so much of a Kronos world, I think as the church, we need an awareness of this second concept of time. That we're aware of it, we're in tune, that our lives are, it's not just like, you know, days, it's just grains of sand falling through the hourglass and sometime it's all over. No, instead we see our lives as just filled with opportunities. Opportunities that God and His kingdom want to break in. We're to be conscious of our time, you know, the seconds, the minutes, the days. We're to be good stewards of that. The Bible tells us to do that. Our time on earth is brief. In the eternal realm, time on earth is brief, just a blip of a scale. It's over. Our time is brief, so we make the most of it. We make the most of it. We steward our time well. We do the things He's called us to do, and we try to do them well. But Paul warns us about how we use that time. Can you put that scripture up for us, Craig? Ephesians, he says this, be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Guess what opportunity is? Kairos. He's saying, make the most of every moment God wants to break into your life, because that's what a wise steward will do. Make the most of it when it's happening. When God starts stirring in you that it's time to do some interior work, submit yourself to it. Welcome it. Engage with it. It says, make the most of every opportunity the Lord presents, not only to us, but even through us. And do you find it interesting? He says, why do we do this? Because the days are evil. Days are evil. Left to ourselves, we're gonna like kind of miss out on what God's doing. Left to ourselves, we're gonna get so married to our schedule of what we have to do, what we're doing, we're gonna push that away. Or we're gonna get so caught up with this and swallowed by the busyness of life, we're gonna totally miss out. I think one of the biggest hindrances. Seriously, one of the biggest hindrances to the advancing of the kingdom of God today is the busyness of our lives. The decisions I make now is not what I do not do with my time. The bigger decisions is what do I do with my time? Because there's so much out there that is good. Paul writes this, right? He says, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. One of the biggest challenges is for myself, it's because of the busyness of life that is out there that I can miss out on these opportunities. And I think here's Paul's challenge saying, you know what, make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because they can slip away in a moment. We can miss them in a moment. Those of you who have children, we only have brief moments to shepherd our children until they reach a point where they are their own. You know, it's really a brief window of time. You don't realize it when they're very young, but when they start hitting teen years, right? What's the thing? Oh my goodness, they're growing so fast. And next thing you know, they're gone. Have we lost the voice? Have we lost that opportunity? It's such a brief window there. When a friend, coworker, or a family member, someone's going through a hard time, they're experiencing pain. There's a brief moment, isn't there, to say, we want to come and we want to minister to you. We want to pray with you. We want to bring you a meal. We want to do something. There's a brief window that's there. And sometimes it just slips away, not making the most of those opportunities. Because here's the rub. Not only does Kairos, God's kingdom breaking in, not only does it intersect with our lives, it interrupts our lives, doesn't it? It interrupts our lives. I've got my life planned out. I got my day planned out. I got my week planned out. And this happened. I remember hearing one pastor saying, he says, I was praying. I says, God, I just want to do your ministry, but my days are just filled with all these interruptions. He said, God spoke to him and says, hey, those interruptions are your ministry. You know, sometimes we plan out our days, don't we? This and this. And a Kairos moment not only intersects, but sometimes it interrupts. Oh, I got to drop this. I got to drop this for someone else. And it's not always convenient. And sometimes even for ourselves. God starts stirring something in us. He wants to do something. And it's like, I'm busy right now, God. God's calling and all he's hearing is, line's busy, Lord. You know, Jesus wept over Jerusalem before he went to the cross. He wept over Jerusalem and he said this, for you did not know the day of your visitation. You know, one of my prayers is, oh God, I don't want to miss out on a day of your visitation. I don't want to miss out if you're saying, Dick, it's time to work on this right here. Dick, it's time to work on that relationship. Dick, it's time to bring forgiveness and healing here. Dick, it's time for you to go share the gospel with someone. Dick, it's time for you to pray with a person. Dick, it's time to drop what you're doing right now and give somebody a call and see how they're doing. Dick, it's time to stop that. I don't want to miss his day of his visitation. And I think there's this awakening that I think God would love to have within his church universal, that we live in Kronos time because that's what he's established for us. But we're always aware of those Kairos moments to break in. Always aware for him to come and do what he wants to do, and that would have the courage to engage. Open, willing, flexible to see it happen. I think of as a church, not only personally, but as a church, I love how this church responds to the Kairos leading of the Lord, the inbreaking of the Lord, that there's opportunities for God to break in. That's why as we gather and this fun day that's coming up, can I tell you that fun day is on the calendar. It is from 9 to 3 on a Wednesday. It is clearly marked. It is a Kronos event. You think God wants to break in with a Kairos moment for some of these kids? You bet. He wants to change their eternal destiny. He wants to see some of these kids give their hearts to Jesus. And the great news clubs that meet in the elementary schools. Set days, set times, it happens. And it's phenomenal what's going on in those great news clubs. It's a Kronos moment, Kairos breaking in. Kids giving their lives to Jesus, hearing about Jesus, their eternal destiny being transformed. When I think of what happens with the youth group and the jail ministry and Roger Stevenson was just telling me the other day, he can only be here every other Sunday now because he got invited to go to the prison and share with guys in prison who are struggling with addictions. Do you think that's a Kairos moment? You bet. He's responding to it. He's saying yes to that whole thing. When I think of what happens with camps and in the summertime, it's in our schedule. Kairos inbreakings in the midst of a Kronos time. Team going to Costa Rica. It's on the calendar. I saw the schedule. Elijah Elijah and Dante, they're sending out the schedule, and I looked at the schedule, I get the email list, I see the whole schedule, I see all their days set up, and they're going to do this in the morning, and then they're going to do this on this part of the day, and then in the afternoon and the evening, the whole time out there, it's all mapped out. That's the Kronos schedule. Our prayer is going to be, oh Lord, let there be Kairos moments all the way through. Let there be the inbreaking of God. God, come and have your kingdom, have your way. Just this past week, I got to tell you one other thing. We're going to do communion. Just this past week, we love this church as a church. We love kids. I love how this church ministers to kids. It's just phenomenal. Again, our kids ministry, our camps, the great news clubs. It was like, how do we reach more kids? How do we really serve our community even more and more? Got a call this past week and said, you know, there's a program that happens within this school district, RSU 16, with four schools, right? Someone correct me, four schools. The four schools that are here, and they have a backpack program where kids have food to take home for the weekend that they may not necessarily have available to them. And there's 90 of those that go out every week. And we just got a call this past week and said, hey, this program, it's been set up, it's running, person's been doing a phenomenal job with it, and but needs to step back, can't do this anymore. Do you guys want to step in and participate in this? And we said, guess what, we're all in. You know, it's something that's going to have a schedule. You know, we're going to pack backpacks on probably Thursday afternoon. You know, on Tuesday we'll be gathering food. We're going to be setting volunteers within the community and within our church. We're going to partner together. And these things are going to go out, and it's all marked on a calendar. I think it's a Kairos moment from the Lord. I think he's saying an invitation. I want you to have more touches with more children. And Lord, well, what does this look like? He goes, you just keep walking it. I'll unfold it. I think this is going to end up being salvations and families. They're going to be powerfully touched because we're saying yes to the Lord. He's opening a door saying, here's the moment that's coming. We live in two realms, Kronos and Kairos. Kronos sometimes gets overwhelming, doesn't it? Let's ask for an inbreaking of Kairos. Can we stand? Some of you have been asked to help with communion. If you wouldn't mind coming at the station, there's three places here. I think there's a couple in the back. If you want to just go to those. And for the rest of us, this is what we're going to do. Just go up, take a piece of bread, take some juice. And if you want to head back to your seats, and you can be seated when you head back, okay? Just come up and grab some bread, grab some juice. Be seated, and I just want us to do a little thing before we leave. You know, when Jesus shared the Last Supper, last meal with his disciples, that's where we get communion from, the breaking of the bread and the juice. He said, this is my body broken for you, and this is my blood for the forgiveness of sins. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. He says, when we do this, remember him. And I'd like us this morning to remember that was a very real event that happened in the midst of Kronos time. There's a very real Kairos moment, the inbreaking of God in the midst of everyday life at a place in Israel, in Jerusalem. And that as we take this today, we remember that we have a God who loves to break into our lives at any moment. So here's a question before you take this. If Jesus was to say to you, hey, it's time. It's time. I'm ready for a Kairos moment to break into your life. It's time. What would he say to you? Is it time to forgive? Time to let go? Is he saying it's a time to deal with that little thing in your heart? Is he saying it's time to go out and just share the love of Christ with someone? Is it time to step into a place maybe to serve where you know he's been stirring you and he's saying, you know, it's time. It's time to release your giftings for my glory. Then is it time to whatever? You fill in the blanks. So take a moment. Would you mind just close your eyes? And if Jesus says, hey, it's time, what's he saying to you? What's it time to do? Some of you, it might be time to give your life to Jesus. You've never done that. Some, it may be time to re-up, sign up again, to do again the things he called you to do. Lord, our desire is to do your will. Lord, we don't want to miss the day of our visitation. We don't want to miss out on the next thing you're wanting to do to us or to do through us. So, Lord, this morning we take the bread, we take the juice, and we do it in remembrance of you. We do it in remembering that you're a God who breaks into our lives. You broke into humanity. You broke into the Samaritan woman's life. You broke into the crippled beggar's life and the Gate Beautiful. And throughout history, you've broken into people's lives, and Lord, you've broken into ours. We do this in remembrance of you as a God who loves to bring Kairos moments in the midst of our Kronos world. And Lord, this morning we say to you, oh Lord, would you do it again? Would you break in afresh to our lives again? Would you transform us? Would you release us? Would you set us free? Would you heal us? We say yes to the working of your hand. And as you feel led, take the bread and take the juice as saying to the Lord, yes, Lord, do it again. Just a reminder, we have out back little bags with juice and bread, communion to go. If you want to bring communion to somebody, share communion with somebody, maybe the Lord says it's time to go heal a relationship. Bring communion. Grab those if you wish on the way out. If any of you would like prayer for anything specific, physical healing, situation that's going on in your life, we've got some people who'd love to pray with you. If there's something that even came up this morning and you'd like to have some others to pray with you about it, you're more than welcome to come up, and we have some people who'll join you in that. Otherwise than that, set your watches. To Kairos time. And every time the Lord breaks through, just say, thank you, Jesus, you're good. Amen and amen. Be blessed.